2 o'clock on Monday night. Do you know where your Twitter mom's at?
It's Kiva on Indie Views. It's Kiva Artist Interview. Right now on Butterflies
Radio,
where it's all indie all the
Welcome to this week's Butterflies Radio Indie Views Artist Spotlight on WWIR Worldwide Indie Radio. This week's guest is Natalie Duke, a singer-songwriter from Chicago, Illinois, by way of Nashville, Tennessee. According to her bio, Natalie Duke's voice can either break your heart or smash it. Her head voice soars with a plaintive tone so sweet you'll want to cry, until her chest voice smacks you in the face and tells you to stop being such a baby. A professional singer since childhood, Natalie has the chops to back up her ambitious melodies. Her songs are sarcastic catharsis lathered with sincere harmonies. She has the emotional reach of Fiona Apple and the lighthearted vengefulness of Lily Allen, though she exists in a musical realm all of her own. Natalie's intellectual yet unpretentious view of reality, transposed into song, will invade the minds and hearts of all who choose to listen. And tonight, the first song of the night, I'm going to play Gift, which entered the Butterflies rotation last week on New Music Monday. That song is off her album, Black Sheep.
You never gave me the compliments, you never paid me. Oh, this is my gift to you. For all the dates we never went on, the birthdays you shit on. Oh, this is my gift to you.
Betrayed it. I gave you my heart. But when I was doing A&R for the station during this campaign and I heard theft, I was like, oh my God. And I was like messaging my friends and I was like, you gotta listen to this, you know, for several of them, for all the douchebags in their life. I was like, there's somebody who actually wrote about this. Got to hear this song. They're like, I love this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Black Sheep, I love Black Sheep. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, I just love the beat of it, and mm-hmm. it's just, you really want to sing along with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun.
Well, thank you.
And the Prince, I mean, I love most of your music, actually. And sometimes I'll find one or two songs, you know, from somebody that I like.
Mm-hmm.
I love just about all of yours, so,
well, yeah. That's good to hear.
Yeah. You know, I keep wanting to share you with everybody. So, like, I have other friends who, you know, do their own music things, like For the Love of Independent Music and Indie Music Bus and on. I'm like, yeah, she's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look into her.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, tell as many people as you possibly can.
Well, next time I get to Chicago, hopefully you'll be playing somewhere,
oh.
You know. So I could see you. That'd be cool.
Well, yeah, you'll have to let me know. I mean, let me know ahead of time. I can always book a show, but I play pretty frequently, so.
Yeah, because I went to Nashville about a month ago because there was a musician that I'd found during the last campaign, and she played Nashville, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, she got married and moved to Alaska. So, Nashville's only 4 hours from me. Chicago's only 5 hours from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, oh, I'll go to Nashville and I'll hear her. And then she up and gets married and moves.
Right.
I thought, I'm not going to get to hear her. And then she was coming back to visit her parents. So I made it a point to go down so I could hear her when she was down there. And Big Kettle Drum was in town, too, recording their album. So I went and had breakfast with them. You know, because a whole lot of people don't come to Lexington. I don't know why. It's a big town. It's a college town. Mm-hmm. Lexington's the big city
right.
near me. People just don't come there. But, you know, Cincinnati's close, too. So there's places I can go. But like I said, Chicago's only 5 hours. It's not a big deal for me. That's not a big drive. And I love Chicago.
And I'm not moving anytime soon, so...
That's a good thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't take off to Alaska.
I'm not going to do that. I promise I won't do that.
You know, I would love to have a gift on one of those little music cards at Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know, and be able to just hand it out to men and go, here's your free download for the day, you know.
Listen to this and take notes.
Yes, listen to this, take notes, and then they download it totally unaware of, you know, what it is, and then they start listening to the words, and they're like, oh, wow, you know, I think that'd be great. What is the reaction when you perform it from men in the audience?
Well, I mean, I don't think that it's necessarily received as well as it is by women, but, I mean, I've never had a negative response to it. You know, people think it's funny.
Good.
And you know, and I've dated since I wrote that song, and guys I've dated have been like, does this freak you out that I wrote this? And they're like, no, it's funny, you know. I'm not that guy. I met you after you wrote it, so what do I care, you know? So, I mean, so far I haven't gotten any negative reactions. Although I must say, my grandfather, who is actually also a musician, I have a lot of respect for him. He's played with Johnny Cash and a bunch of famous musicians. He's in Nashville. And he's super supportive, and I love him so much. And he heard Gift, you know, he told me, you know, it's a good song. I like the way you wrote the song, but, you know, I can't necessarily support it because of all the bad words and everything. And I was like, that's okay. I don't expect you, you know, you're my grandfather. It's fine. You know, it's just something that's just me. It's just honest. And he said he could respect that. And then he came to my show in Nashville, sat right in front, and you know, and I called him out on stage, obviously, and told that same, you know, story. And I was like, sorry, Papa, I'm still going to play the song, you know. And out of everybody in the audience, he laughed so hard during the performance that he cried.
Oh.
And afterwards he was still laughing, you know, and he was like, I'm glad you did that. I'm proud of you and everything. So,
oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think men are all right with it.
And I have to say, I think maybe Johnny Cash would approve.
Yeah, probably.
Now, Gift was my song choice of the night. Obviously, because it just reached out and grabbed me when I was going through A&R, and I just thought it was such a special song, unique song, that really needed to be out there in the rotation. Because you have to have those that, you know, kind of lead the pack or set aside from the pack, and I felt Gift was that song. Next up is another song from her album, Black Sheep, called The Prince.
My knight says I clutch him like I can't get close enough. The sentiment is true. He can't see it isn't he who I wish to invade. My eyes, and in my mind he's you, and yours is perfectly sweet, a handcrafted doll. Take a tiny hand, make that scene asymmetrical, but place your palm upon just like me, surfing the shadows, sneaking in from the gallows to taint something so pure and never can say no. We laugh and share it all, but there's one thing unsaid, and when we're with myself. The fantasies you then start up there with yours, where you were here. But the knock on the door just like me, a pauper in penance, begging forgiveness, knees in the dirt that grows.
Now I want to ask you, you know how Taylor Swift will, God, I wouldn't want to date her for anything if I was a guy, because you know you're going to end up in a song, and not a good one, not in any good way. So I have to ask you, you know, like you said, maybe some of your songs are autobiographical, but not totally, but I have to ask, you know. The gift.
Right. Go ahead.
A guy had to have inspired that.
Man, I thought I was going to get away with not having to answer that question. But, yes, obviously that was inspired by true events.
And obviously a lot of us have had one like that, you know, to relate, so... You can start a fan club.
I mean, you know what Gift was? Gift was me getting over a bad relationship. I was just, you know, obviously I was in a relationship. It went wrong. We broke up. This guy is not, like, a monster or anything. But, you know, it was just all of a sudden, you know, the melody came to me in a few of the words one night, and then I just got up and I just wrote the entire song. And I wasn't, like, crying or, like, throwing things at the wall while I was writing it. I was laughing because as I was getting these things out, it was just so cathartic, you know. It really helped me get over the relationship. That song,
yes,
was definitely, it put me over the hump. And after I wrote that, started recording it, sharing it with people, I'm really proud of that song. I really like that song. And I felt good about it, and I felt good about myself, and I felt better about that relationship, and it was behind me. So
I think it's great. And I think that it's got to be cathartic for a lot of women,
mm-hmm,
listening to it, because I think that there are people who don't write, who don't sing, who don't perform, who don't have that ability to have that outlet, you know, to work things out, you know, work out their emotions when they have a breakup like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I'm a writer, I come from the journal it or write it, put it away, and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever have to share it with anybody. Just write it, and because you've written it, it's gone. You know,
right.
You've put it away, and it's gone. You know, you get to put it in a song, and you've worked through it. And I think that's why a lot of people love music so much, you know, because it relates to whatever point in their life or situation they've been in. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the Gift and some other songs, it's just, it's not the typical glossing over things. It's very real, and people can relate to it on that level.
Right.
And I like that, and I think that people can get that, where they can sing it and get rid of that for them. So I think that that helps people, too.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, every woman and man, you know, has...
Yeah.
Has that ex that, you know, you're like, God, you're, you know, such an asshole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, or even if they're just, you know, pissed off at the time, you know. It's good to be able to emote, obviously. And when I wrote it, I never wrote it with the intention of, you know, of it being necessarily relatable. When it was done, though, I was like, oh, yeah, other people can probably relate to this, you know. And actually, when I wrote it, I didn't necessarily want it to get out.
To get out there, yeah.
Because I thought, you know, maybe my ex will hear this and it'll hurt his feelings or something like that, but whatever. I don't care.
But you know what? It's a fun song, though, too.
Right.
It really is. The beat, and you do have a lot of fun with it. So it's nice that from a painful thing, that it can be fun, too. That people can have a good time with it.
Yeah.
And hopefully you can have a good time with it, too.
Yeah. Well, see, that's like I said, I was laughing when I wrote it, and, you know, and I didn't want it to come across as sad or angry. I wanted it to be like, well, you know what? You were an ass, so here you go, and I'm moving on, you know, type thing.
And I like that. I really do. See, therapists should do that. Just, you know, therapists should just go, come back next week, write a song, you know. Write a song, come back, we'll talk about it later.
I'd go to that therapist.
I know. That therapist would make a lot of money. Look, like I said, Taylor Swift, she's got the idea. Date him, write a song,
right.
You know. But I wouldn't date her. I think at this point, she's proven, can't date her.
Right.
Cannot date her because it's going to end. It's going to end badly, and you're going to be in a song.
Well, it makes me wonder if guys think that about me, too. Because
how many songs have you written about guys?
I don't write about everybody that I date or anything. Gift is the only, like, that's my big, you know, ode to bad breakup song. I doubt I'll write another song like that ever.
I hope not. For you, I hope not. I hope you never have to write one like that again.
And I mean, if I'm ever in that situation where I feel those feelings again, I'll just go back and listen to Gift again. It'll be fine. Translate
yes,
to other guys, you know.
Next up is her song Nowhere, again off the album Black Sheep.
It's been dark around here in my damp, musty room. The dust collects on our feet, wrapped in blankets of doubt and despair, and soak in the comfort that it brings. Oh, well, maybe I'll tomorrow, or just start drinking at dawn.
There's no place like nowhere. That place is not here. There's no place like nowhere. That place is not here.
Or anywhere that's far or near.
Now, since you were from Nashville, mm-hmm. And because you have sung professionally since, you know, you were little, were your parents in the industry?
Yes. My parents are both singers and musicians. But my dad is the one that I followed kind of into the commercial side of things. That's why we moved to Chicago originally, because he was a singer-songwriter musician in Nashville, but started doing commercials and getting called to do a bunch of work in Chicago. So he was going back and forth, and you know, and I was obviously very young, and I had a younger brother, and eventually the work was just, he was getting so much work up there, he was like, let's just move, And then it just so happened that the agency that he was with, they were looking for kids, and so I auditioned, and that's how it all started.
Now, on the members, it says about in the members, do you really have a band, or do you perform with a band, or do you perform as a solo artist?
I do. I perform with a band. Actually, it's done several different ways, depending on the night and the venue. My two members of my band that never changed are Jack Bashore and Lisa Duke. Lisa is my younger sister, and she.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, she sings backup with me, and. And Jack, who is actually her boyfriend, he plays guitar and keys with me. So if we sometimes do acoustic shows and it's just the three of us, but a lot of times we do full band shows, and then I bring in my other backup vocalist, Molly McCormick, and I have a new bass player, Ed, and my drummer, Tyler. So.
And how did you find them? How did you, well, obviously your sister kind of, you know, I know how you found her.
Yeah.
And then she kind of brought Jack along, right? Or was Jack there before they were boyfriend and girlfriend?
Well, actually, yeah, I've been friends with Jack for a while. I was friends with Jack before they got together. And he's in a couple other bands that are awesome here in town. And the other, I mean, Tyler and Molly, they're both friends of mine. And then Ed, our new bass player, he actually just started. I found him on Craigslist, and he's amazing. So.
Now, see, it's good that you found him on Craigslist, because for me, and this is my demented way of thinking, ever since the Craigslist killer,
mm-hmm.
I just can't think of looking on Craigslist for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think there's only bad things on Craigslist.
You have to be really careful. I still use Craigslist for probably way too many things, and it's loaded with scams and creepy people, you know, left and right. But you just got to kind of follow your gut, you know, and make sure you're never, you know, meeting anyone anywhere near your home and never alone. And, I mean, I've had some not-so-great experiences with finding musicians off of Craigslist, and you never know. You know, you never know if somebody is going to work out long-term, you know, if they're just going to flake, you know, in the middle of nowhere. But
you've been doing this long enough that you should probably have a pretty good feel for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, with this band, I've really only been performing this stuff since last year. We just started last summer, so it hasn't even been a year yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you got to get some under your belt with them.
Right.
Now, do you find Chicago to be a really great place to perform? I mean, I know there's so many venues. There's so many performing bars and outdoor events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Taste of Chicago and
right. I mean, yeah, I think it's great. I haven't had a bad experience yet. I mean, everywhere that I've performed, everyone I've worked with has been really nice and helpful, and has, you know, been supportive of us and what we're doing, and has invited us back. Now, like I said, you know, we've only been performing since together since last June. This summer is when we'll, you know, hopefully hit the festival circuit a lot harder, and that'll be a whole different experience. But, I mean, but we've played at several different venues around town, and like I said, it's been, yeah, it's been pretty great. There's not a single one that I wouldn't return to.
Now, are you going to try to stick with performing there in Chicago, or are you going to try to tour?
We are planning to tour. We have played a show in Nashville. I, as you can imagine, I have a pretty good fan base in Nashville.
Being yeah. There.
So, yeah, I took the whole band down to Nashville right after Thanksgiving in November. We played The Basement down there.
Oh, my God, that's where Mary Ellen Kirk was at when I went to see her.
Yeah.
At The Basement.
That's a
great little venue, but it's a tight fit.
Yeah. It was fun, though, and that's a great place. They have great sound. And I just love The Basement and Grimey's. Those were, you know, places I was always at when I lived there. So
I love Third and Lindsley. That's, like, one of my favorite
places
there.
Yeah, that's fun, too. We used to go see the Wooten Brothers play. They play, like, every Wednesday.
Ah.
Third and Lindsley. Yeah. But that's, yeah, we're planning on doing a short, like, surrounding cities tour, probably in the beginning of summer, and hit, you know, like, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, St. Louis, Omaha, and then hopefully we'll expand further after that.
Next up is the artist choice song of the night called It's About Time, which Natalie also says is a fan favorite.
Coming up, I had my troubles. Coming up, I've had my doubts. Coming up, I've been so insecure. I've had ins, but mostly outs. But here is where it starts.
Here is where it starts.
It's where it ends for good. It's over. Here is where it starts.
Here is where it starts.
It's where it ends for good. I'm moving on. first time. Used to be I was a coward. Used to hide myself from me. If I just knew then what I know now, I might not have been as free. Now it's time to face the fear. If I just do nothing,
have you always lived in Chicago?
I'm actually from Nashville.
Really?
Yeah.
From Nashville and left there.
Well,
when everybody's goal is to go to Nashville.
I know, it's weird, right? I get that a lot. I was actually born in Nashville, and then I was raised, we actually moved to Chicago when I was seven, and mm-hmm. And then we moved back to Nashville when I was in high school, and then I moved back as an adult. And the thing is, in Nashville, yeah, everybody does go to Nashville, you know, for a music career. And it's like everybody that you know in Nashville has at least one guitar in their house. But that's the thing. It's the music scene is so saturated in Nashville, and there's a ton of talent. But people don't understand Music Row is like this tiny little area of town.
It is.
And so it's actually, I think it's more difficult in Nashville, at least for me, for the kind of music that I do. I feel like mm-hmm. it's actually easier for me in Chicago to get exposure and increase my fan base, because in Nashville they're just so particular about it, especially with women. I would say you have to be, you know, the most beautiful, the most talented, like, you know, there's a certain songwriting style, you know, and I just don't really fit into that style. I want to do my own thing, and I want to write songs like Gift and swear a lot, you know, so.
Oh, yeah, and when you're in the South, you know, living in the South, they don't expect that from women.
Right.
You know, and I'm from Colorado originally.
Mm-hmm.
And then moved here, so I see that perspective differently. And I do, I like the whole being able to say what you think in your music, and the honesty of it. Because for me, I was like, people need to hear this song. It's a really good song. It's a good song, but I love the lyrics and the story behind it. And I'm like, it's awesome that somebody wrote something like this, because it's so real and mm-hmm. true and honest. And I love that it's honest, but with kind of happy lyrics, you know? And that's why I loved sharing it. I was like, everybody needs to hear this, you know? And I'm so happy that it's going to be on the rotation now, mm-hmm. so everybody else can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that you're the kind of person that can write stuff like that and share it and be cool with that.
Well, I mean, in my experience, honestly, I mean, I've tried to write songs where I'm just like, well, maybe I want to write about this topic, but if it's not something that I'm really feeling or experiencing at the time, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say all of my songs are 100% autobiographical. They're not necessarily, but
right.
But I have to pull something from what's going on in my real life, because if I don't feel it, it just comes out like, I just don't like the end result. And it ends up just not being a good song. So,
well, and you've got to buy it to sell it, right. You know?
Right, right. So,
now, your bio said that you've been singing professionally your whole life, right?
Yes. Yeah, when we moved to Chicago from Nashville as a child, I got into the singing and voiceover business. And when I was a kid, I sang for a lot of commercials and stuff like that. So,
now, did you like doing that?
I did. Yeah, I mean, it was like my parents were always like, okay, you know, it wasn't like I was pressured to do it. It was something I was kind of interested in, you know, kind of afraid of at first, but once I started doing it, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I especially enjoyed the singing part of it. And my mom always said, as soon as it stops being fun for you, you'll stop. And I actually did stop when I was a teenager, just because I was just too cool and just wanted to hang out with my friends all the time. But yeah, I remember, I have only fond memories of it.
Next up is a song called Alive.
Never am I ever less than me than when I'm without you, baby. Without you, I surely wouldn't die, but I wouldn't be alive. So I can't help but sing. Just give me comfort and serenity. Feed me, will you fill me, will you be with me, part of me eternally. Oh, I can't help but sing.
Oh,
Now, so you have an album out already, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And are you recording another one now? Because most people are recording albums over the winter.
I am not recording necessarily right now, but I am writing. I'm going to do February album writing month. So I'm going to try to have 14 new songs by the end of February. I've got a few new ones. And I mean 14 usable songs, not like, right. You know, because sometimes I'll write something and I'm like, nobody's ever going to hear this ever.
But at least it's the exercise in doing it.
Right. I've really been focusing on getting our live show really solid. And I'm still, I think we sound great live, but, you know, we're still kind of working on that, you know, learning the live scene around town and other cities as well. Definitely writing, and then hopefully I'll start recording relatively soon. We just released Black Sheep, though, which is the name of the album. Just released that at the end of last year. So.
In 2012?
Yes.
Yeah, so you've got another year to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think about a year in between is good.
Right.
I just know that the winters, that seems to be a good time for writing and recording.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, summer comes around, tour.
Right.
Do the gigs, you know,
mm-hmm.
promote the albums. That's another thing I love about spring, all kinds of new music from everybody, you know, get it out there. But, you know, Black Sheep, you've got lots of good songs to work with there and releasing and singing those. And now that you have the new bass player, you know, break him in.
Right. Well, it's interesting. This time I'm excited. I'm doing it in a reverse order. Last time, I had most of my songs recorded before we started playing them live. So most of the band learned the songs off of the recordings. And this time, I want to do it the opposite way. I want to write the songs. I want to get the band playing them, playing around with them live, see, you know, what kind of shape they take after playing them live for a little bit, and then get in the studio and record them. And see what, how different it is.
Now, what do you prefer? Do you prefer performing live, or do you prefer doing the studio stuff?
Absolutely, hands down, I'd rather record. I've always been that way, and that's why I didn't start really performing with my band until last summer, because I have always had really bad, like, debilitating stage fright, which I'm overcoming now. I'm quite proud of myself, actually.
And that's a big thing. It really is. And I understand that because I think people assume if you're a musician or an artist that you're very outgoing and aren't shy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm a writer. I did theater in high school and community theater while I was in college, and I am an extrovert, but boy, I was scared to death to be on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I did speech and drama in high school too, so I did all those things, but I was still, I know I'd get critiqued at speech and drama competitions, and one of the comments was that they could see my knees knocking together, and so obviously it was obvious. And I know when I'd go on stage, I would always get so nervous right before it was time for me to go on that I'd have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
You know, so inevitably I'd have to enter the stage from the side opposite the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to run behind the stage, you know, tiptoeing to go to the bathroom just out of sheer nerves. So, yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like that. It was like that for me, too, but you know what? Honestly, it got better pretty quickly. And I don't know if it was just that I had, you know, so many shows so quickly, you know, last summer and last fall. And but it's like one day, I still get nervous. Don't get me wrong, I still definitely get nervous. But it was actually before our show in Nashville. I think that was a really big show for us. And the day of the show, you know, I was nervous. I was talking to my sister about it. She was nervous. We're like, oh, this is a really big deal. And for some reason, like as soon as we got to the venue, I was fine. I was like, you know what? I'm not that nervous. I should be way more nervous than I actually am. And that's mm-hmm. when I realized, like, I've made a lot of progress here, you know?
That's really awesome, you know, and that people can get something from that too, you know, get inspiration from the fact that you overcame that.
Well, I mean, I hope so, because I was in a place where I was like, it's always going to be this way. It's never going to get better. And
right.
that's just not the case. The more you do it, the better it gets. I don't care who you are. The more you do it, the better it's going to get.
It is. You just keep doing it. I'm afraid of heights,
mm-hmm.
but I keep doing it because I know it's not going to get better. And, I just, you know, I temper it, and one of those places is Chicago,
mm-hmm.
The Hancock Tower. The kids went up there. They'd go near the edge and look over. Not me. I would go up and stay at the center because I could feel the building moving. And, you know, being near the edge, I could kind of feel like the floor moving. So I just stayed to the center, but I'd still go up to the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
You just find a way to work with it.
You do. It's like, you know, people always say, face your fears.
Next up is a beautiful song called Ashes.
Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Oh. La la, la la, la la. You really, truly know when it's all over. You're gonna be living lies again. You know where they will only mask the fear. Is praise to break the grieving priest and prayers for the deceived of vulnerable tired tears will fall as checks assigned.
Black Sheep, that song, I've also discovered lately, Jen Wigmore. Have you heard of her?
No, I have not.
You have to look her up. She was on Jay Leno, and I looked her up because she's got a very Amy Winehouse kind of voice. She's blonde. You hear her voice when you look at her. Not you would never imagine that voice came out of that person.
Mm-hmm.
She sings. You'll see her on TV. It's a Stoli commercial, I think, and she's singing for it. But she has a song called Black Sheep.
Okay.
And I really like it. Then I heard your Black Sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe I just love any song about black sheep because I like to think I'm a black sheep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I like hearing the different versions and their takes on black sheep. So what's the story behind your black sheep?
Well, black sheep is really, I kind of, it's like my feminist anthem. there actually is.
See, I knew I liked you for a reason.
There actually is kind of a funny story behind that song. I mean, obviously, I'm a feminist, and, you know, I'm somebody, you know, who believes that women don't necessarily have to buy into the social norms of, you know, getting married and having kids and, you know, and whatever, following some sort of, like, guidelines. So that's mostly what that song is about, you know, just do what you want to do. If you don't want to have kids, don't want to get married, whatever, that's up to you. But I had this really terrible job in Nashville that I hated. It was an office day job. And I was surrounded by sexism on a daily basis.
Yes.
And, God, it drove me crazy. Obviously, there was this one guy that I worked with who, I mean, he was actually kind of a friend, and he knew how much it bothered me, and I had broken up with some guy I was dating, and one day he was just poking fun at me, and he was like, "Why can't you keep a man, Natalie? I'll tell you why you can't keep a man. You want me to tell you why you can't keep a man?" You know? And for some reason, that just stuck in my head, and it stuck with the melody, and I was like, yeah, you think you can tell me why I can't keep a man? Well, what if I don't want to keep a man, you know? And, that was another one of those songs. It just kind of, it came to me pretty quickly, and that's, I really like that song. I especially like doing that song live, because I get the audience involved and everything, so...
Oh, yeah. See, I so need to come up there for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not to label you or stereotype you, but see, that's why I like you. A man-hating feminist. It's like we're sisters or something.
Oh, I love men.
I do, too, but they drive me nuts, you know? It's like, God, just one day without driving me insane in some way. And for me, the man that drives me the most insane is my son.
Okay.
It's like he's 17, and I just want to apologize to every girl that he dates. I just want to say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I can't wait for that.
I just want to keep thinking I did a better job, but clearly I did not.
Next up, the last song of the evening and the title track from the album Black Sheep.
Her face reflected, frowning in a ceiling made of glass. Fingers clenched, turn the shards to smile. We can no longer drown in the traditions of the past, and this change been coming for a while. Ba-ba, black sheep, gather in the herd again. Get your husband, get your kids, get your mortgage, and you win. Now point your fingers my way and preach it with conviction. Now
tell you why you can't keep a man.
Yeah, tell me why I can't keep a man.
I'll tell you why you can't keep a man.
Oh, no, tell me why I can't keep a man.
I'll tell you why you can't keep a man.
Oh, don't, oh, don't, oh, don't you preach to me. It's you who are alone. Oh, doe, oh, doe, oh, domesticity. 666 sickens me so. Ba-ba, black sheep, gather in the herd again. Get your husband, get your kids, get your mortgage, and you win. Now point your fingers my way and preach it with conviction. Now
tell you why you can't keep a man.
Yeah, tell me why I can't keep a man.
I'll tell you why you can't keep a man.
Oh, tell me why I can't keep a man.
I'll tell you why you can't keep a man.
Well, maybe we wanna do who we wanna. Well, maybe we wanna be who we wanna. Well, maybe we wanna live for who we wanna. Maybe.
Ba-ba, black sheep, gather in the herd again. Get your husband, get your kids, get your mortgage, and you win. Now point your fingers my way and preach it with conviction now.
I'll tell you why you can't keep a man.
And tell me why I can't keep a man.
I'll tell you why you can't keep a man.
What if I don't want to keep a man?
I'll tell you why you can't keep a man.
Well, tell me why I should keep a man.
I'll tell you why you can't keep a man.
And tell me why I need to keep a man.
Where have you eaten and what have you eaten that everybody has to know about, that you have to share with everyone? It can be anywhere, Chicago, Nashville, somewhere you've traveled, but someplace that you just have to share with everyone.
That's difficult because I've eaten so many wonderful things.
You know where I went when I was in when I was up there? I think it was Joliet, because we did the prison tour, you know, again, my warped, personality there. They took me to Marika's. Is that what
I don't know.
It was a German restaurant, I think. I assumed it was. I don't know. It was like some kind of, steak hoagie thing. But what was funny is everybody who came in there was wearing a shirt that said Chicago Bears. And in my head, I just kept hearing, "Da Bears, Da Bears, Da Bears." But it was good food.
Yeah.
A garlic butter sauce on it.
Mm.
But you've got lots of good food there in Chicago.
That's true. You know what? I'm going to say there is a restaurant in my neighborhood, a restaurant slash cabaret type, not cabaret, but like a gay bar. It's called Fit Cat Lounge. They have excellent food, and they have a specialty martini list with like over 200 different martinis.
Oh my goodness.
And that's, you know, my favorite thing. They have, you know, dancers come through, and they have these big screens on the wall where they play classic movies. And they have macaroni and cheese is my favorite food. And they have this macaroni and cheese on their menu. I mean, I know it's kind of, it's trendy right now to do mac and cheese, you know, fancy comfort food type stuff. So I try it wherever I go, and half the time I don't like it. But they have this mac and cheese on the menu with, like, truffle oil and bacon in it. And it's so good. It's ridiculously fattening, but I could sit and eat a vat of it. It's really good.
Now, my second question is, do you have any good stories from the road?
Well, you know, we haven't really been touring yet. So why don't you let me answer that question after we tour?
After you tour. Yes.
Then, you know, we'll just have to talk again.
Thank you, Natalie Duke, for being a guest on the Indieviews Artist Spotlight. And I hope everybody enjoyed New Music Monday with Janae Giddens on Tune Talks. I'm about ready to catch a flight and head to L.A. to hook up with Mark and Carol and a lot of great musicians, Mikey J. From KGUP, for the Artist and Music Awards on the 7th. And have lots of fun. I'll be back before my show next Monday with a guest named Luca, and I really am looking forward to that. So have fun this week, guys. See you then.